Zigzag and One, a place where we honestly discuss how to navigate the zigs and zags in our crazy lives. Expect heartwarming stories, some laughter, and maybe a few tears as we embrace life's challenges and choose joy over a momentary defeat. Today, we will hear from someone whose life has had some unexpected turns, but chose to keep moving forward. What did they learn? Some valuable life lessons. Zigs and zags are also a part of our host, Melanie Brown's journey. She too had to find the determination to never give up. What are we waiting for? Let's dive in.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Zigzag in One podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Brown. Today, my friend Christina Custudio and I are tackling a difficult topic, race relations. As you know, over the last year, the racial divide has grown even wider. Christina and I know the issue is complex and has deep roots, but we both believe communication and a desire to understand each other are essential foundations of building a bridge of unity. We believe that bridge of unity is possible. I love Maya Angelou's thoughts on diversity. She said, "We all should know that diversity makes for a rich tapestry, and we must understand that all the threads of the tapestry are equal in value, no matter what their color." Christina is a wife to Ozzy and a mom to two daughters and a son. She is also an author and speaker. That's how I got to know her. Three of her essays were recently published in a compilation titled She Writes for Him, Voices of Color. We're going to talk about those essays today. She's also working on two other books, When God Changed His Mind and Too Much Cream in My Coffee. Guys, I'm so excited to share my interview with Christina Custudio. Please join us. This last year, the pandemic has presented challenges none of us could have anticipated. Yet, I believe it's offered us the opportunity to take a deeper look at our lives. We've discovered how distancing ourselves physically can impact our social and emotional health. I believe human connection is a gift, one we can't take for granted. Another deeper look at our lives many of us were not anticipating was the racial divide that occurred with the deaths of several young Black men and women. Those events impacted each of us no matter our skin color. Today's episode isn't to discuss the specifics of those events. Rather, I've invited my friend Christina Custudio to share her experiences as a woman of color. Guys, I've learned so much from her in our discussions the last few months, which has deepened my appreciation for diversity. So welcome, Christina. I've really been looking forward to our time together.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, my friend. Before we jump in, I want to make sure that I ask this question. Do you prefer that we use African American or Black during our discussion?
Black is just fine. Not everyone is African American, so I think that Black covers it all.
Okay, fantastic. Last month, three of your essays were published in the compilation called She Writes for Him, Black Voices of Wisdom. Congratulations, girl.
Thank you. Pretty excited.
You should be. And you gave me the opportunity to read those before they were even published, which I feel very honored about. I'd like to start by reading one excerpt that filled me with sadness. You wrote, "When I was 15, a friend of mine, in fact, my best friend, said, 'I think God made a mistake when he made you Black. You should have been white.' I can't even imagine the pain that you felt. What was going through your mind when she said that day?"
Well, since I was 15, I think it was, I wasn't really sure. You know, at that age, you don't really know how you feel about anything. But I know that my heart felt like it stopped. And I felt embarrassed to look the way I did, really, you know, based on what she said. And then the sad thing is that I agreed with her. I look back at that now, that really hurts my heart. And I just thought, yeah, he must have made a mistake. But I couldn't do anything about it. So, you know, I just felt less than. I felt like what I was wasn't good enough. And I just smiled and pretended that I was anyway. And the strange thing is, a part of me felt honored that she would think that I should be like her, that I should. And that's really kind of self-hate, actually.
What do you mean by self-hate?
Well, I looked at myself and I didn't like what I was. And hate is a strong word, but if you don't love who you are, what is it?
Yeah, you got a point there.
Right. And it just kind of solidified my place in that realm of hate, of self-hate. But I didn't recognize it as that at 15 years old. You know, I can look back and think of all the thoughts and feelings I had during that time. And that's really what it boiled down to. I just wasn't okay with myself. And that's because I lived in a predominantly white world. I went to a predominantly, in fact, I was the only Black girl in my whole school at one point.
Wow.
Christian private school, white neighborhood, church, everything. So it's really difficult to be in that situation and think that you're okay, that you're normal, that you're not a mistake, because I was the only one, or one of very few.
You were the outlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead of appreciating the beauty in being an outlier, which Malcolm Gladwell says that that's one of the best things you can be, is an outlier. I'm sure at 15, because you and I both have worked in the school system, we know that at 15, you don't get that idea at all. You see that as a bad thing. To be an outlier.
I'm thankful. I believe God kind of protected me from some of those, from really acknowledging some of those feelings, because, you know, as we see so many teenagers, when they feel bad about themselves, they spiral. So I just lived in a world of denial, which I think might have been, you know, better. It might have saved me, because it took becoming an adult to really dive into those feelings and sort them out.
And reflecting back, probably was a difficult thing.
Absolutely.
As part of your essay, you said that you always had a smile on your face, yet you carried the pain of feeling worthless. Mm-hmm. And so I'm guessing that what you just shared is what contributed to feeling worthless.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I was that friend who would carry love notes from boys to other girls, and vice versa. But I was never the receiver of those. So, you know, I always thought, well, I'm okay to do this, to deliver, but I'm not okay to be the receiver of these. So that was all, you know, as a young girl, you had crushes. And,
of course.
You know, boyfriend. And that just wasn't something that was acceptable at that time. So that was very difficult. You know, when I looked at that time, watching TV, looking in magazines, seeing all that was presented about Black people was not positive for the most part. What I saw was that people with white skin are beautiful and intelligent and romantic and deserving of all good things. You know, I know someone could say that was overly sensitive of me or anyone that looks like me, but when there's no representation of people who look like you in those positive ways, those are the conclusions that you come to. And what I saw was that Black people were criminals, and they were scary, and they were not smart. When you look back at movies and such during, you know, for decades, that's how we were portrayed. Once in a while, you might have something different, but that's what I saw. So I couldn't feel good about what my skin represented. I want to give you an example of something too, because I know that people will think, well, that's your problem. That's not what anyone was saying about you. You know, that's just what you had in your head. But when my sister was 5 years old, she didn't really have time to form, you know, thoughts and opinions on these things. She joined a cheerleading team for her school. And one night they got to cheerlead with the older girls. at my high school during a football game. And when she was done, I remember her coming back to sit with me and my family and a couple, a couple of friends. One of my friends asked if she wanted to be a cheerleader when she was in high school. And she said, no, I'm not allowed.
Oh, and wow.
What do you mean? She said, they won't let me be a cheerleader. You know, we were thinking, what in the world? She said, because I have brown skin. And of course, we just got very upset. And who told you that? And where are they? And we, when it came down to it, and we probed some more, we realized that she came to the conclusion because she looked at that cheerleading squad and the girls around her, and there were no other girls with brown skin. She concluded that she wasn't allowed and that they didn't want her. That was as a five-year-old girl.
Yeah, and it's very important to have that representation. And I'm very thankful that there is the diversity in magazines and TV and movies and authors and all kinds of different professions, and learning about the women of color and all that they have done and what they've overcome and how they are impacting our world in amazingly positive and beneficial ways. I can imagine how that would be very challenging to not have any of that at your age, because it does send a message, even if it's not intending to send a message, it does.
Yes, that's right. It's not intentional, but we do have to acknowledge that that's what's happening.
Yes. And so one of the other things that you had in an essay, I'm going to read, and then I'm going to admit, I fell into it for years. One of your pleas was, don't tell me you don't see color. And when I read those words, my face turned red, because I remember saying those things. They came out of my mouth. They did. And I honestly thought, I don't see that as a barrier.
Right.
But a friend of mine really kindly set me aside and said, you not seeing color and you saying that is not conveying acceptance.
Right.
That's the opposite of what it's doing. Her kind, and it was kind, admonition opened my eyes. And I liked your explanation, so if you could share that.
I hope it's the same explanation. I have different thoughts in my head all the time about these things that kind of swirl around. But basically, to not acknowledge that I have brown skin means you don't see me.
Oh.
And you can't know me if you don't acknowledge that part of me. And everyone wants to be known. Everyone desires to be known. That's how God created us, for community and to be known. And saying you don't see color, like you said, it actually means the opposite of what you mean to say. And to not acknowledge who I am means I'm not worth seeing or celebrating, that what you see doesn't really matter. So it's important to see color. See my color, because that is part of who I am, and I want you to know me. And it's okay, and it's beautiful, and it's diverse. God created diversity because he's a God of beauty.
Yes.
We've got to celebrate that.
It reminds me of several different books I've read with students over the years that is more of a dystopian type thing, where there's lack of color, or there's only one color. So let's just suppose that everybody was red. Every single person was red. There's no diversity there. There's nothing to appreciate and differentiate if everybody's red, or if every flower were yellow. It's the same kind of thing. And my friend used those examples. I had never thought of that. And that really convicted me. What it did, which was amazing, and I'm very thankful for, is that now when I'm out and I'm amongst a crowd, which unfortunately not too much these days, but when I have been around crowds, I'm looking at all the different skin colors, and I'm seeing the beauty in that diversity. Whereas before, it never even crossed my radar. It just didn't. That I am extremely thankful for, because there is beauty in that.
And it makes your life richer to see
that.
Just the way God intended.
Yes. So as our title of the podcast is Zigzag in One, the zigzags representing our struggles, tell me a few examples of the zigzags that you face that are directly related to the color of your skin?
You know, with a couple examples that I've given you, whether it was intentional or not, I was made to feel that I wasn't as good as people with white skin. And so what that did to me was make me shrink back. It made me hold back the things that God had put inside of me. So I had to battle between what I inherently knew about myself, because I think God puts into us who we are. But when society, when things outside of us say something different, then there's a battle. There's that internal struggle. For me, even though I knew some things about myself, that I had gifts and I had a voice, I shrunk back because I thought, well, I'm not worth it. These people don't think that I can do this. And I felt like anything I said would make me stand out. And then what is that Black girl saying? You know, I thought that everybody was looking at me like, oh, that Black girl, not just, oh, that girl, or oh, that woman. The struggle was having so much inside of me to share, but feeling like I couldn't.
Feeling suppressed.
Yes. Yes. For so many years, not being who I was called to be because of these things. And I'm thankful now that I've been able to break free of that, you know, and that's nothing but God. But it was difficult. And it still tends to come into my mind in different situations. And I really have to fight against that. There are things that people have asked me to do. And I think, why did they ask me to do that? Like, am I a token? What are they seeing? I almost don't believe that they really want me. But sometimes for someone to say, oh, sorry, we changed your mind, we don't really want you, we found someone better.
Oh, Christina, I hate to hear that.
But I am working through that still, you know, it takes years when you've grown up with those feelings. We all have something like that.
And I do think that you're right. You're hearing human voices say things that they're speaking into what their perception of your identity is.
Yes.
And you're hearing that. Mm-hmm. And that's the human side. And God is working on the inside, screaming at you as loud as he possibly can, his understanding and knowledge of your identity, but he's not a human and we can't audibly hear him. And so sometimes I know I'm guilty and I don't want to push this into you. Maybe it's for you as well, but sometimes those human voices are so loud. And even though I'm listening to God's voice, it's quiet. It's not that I don't believe him, but it's hard for that small, quiet voice to overpower the human voices that feel so loud.
Yes, that is so true. I think that's just because we're human, that's what happens. We all have something like that. And it really is a battle. You know, we've got to talk to ourselves almost and remind ourselves, no, this is who I am. And just push past the fear, push past the rejection we might feel, and know who we're accepted by. And that's all that matters.
It does. And it does take a long time to get to that point where you're listening to that voice, letting the others just roll off of you.
Right.
That's hard for me.
Yeah. It's hard for all of us.
Yes. I believe the most important part of the show is when we talk about what we've learned from the zigzags that we faced. Tell me what you've learned about yourself, about life, about God.
I've learned that I cannot see, just like we were saying, I cannot see myself based on what others think of me. My creator created me and he put all of these gifts and beautiful things inside of me. And that's what matters. He knows me. He created me. He's the one who actually knows me. And just like the scriptures say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And we've got to believe that. It really sounds like something we need to sit back every day. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, just say it over and over again. But God made me. God made each of us at a specific time for a specific reason. I can't compare myself with anyone else, and there's only one me, and no one can do me the way I can.
Amen.
Yeah. And life is a series of lessons. Even though it's lessons, God wants us to enjoy our lives and love ourselves and be proud of who we are, because to not love ourselves is kind of an insult to him, or to not love anyone else. It's an insult to the Creator. He never intended for us to struggle with these things. We were supposed to be walking with him in a beautiful garden, not dealing with this mess. And I think it was my little brother who had a shirt that said, "I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk."
Yes, I've seen that shirt before.
Yes, and isn't that the truth? He doesn't. It's hard to say that, you know, with horrible grammar, but God, God doesn't make any junk.
I do think he has gifted each of us in so many beautiful ways. And if we're sharing those gifts, this world would be rocking. I mean, it would just be an amazing place. And it's so sad to think that each of us questions those gifts and abilities based on what others are telling us. And right. It's natural. We're human. I mean, none of us are going to escape that. We're all going to be impacted by the comments that people make, the social media, any of the media in general, news, magazines, whatever. We're impacted by that. I hope there comes a day where the good that is said, the good that is portrayed about skin color, about abilities, about any of the things that we all get hung up on, the good outweighs the negative.
Yes.
I don't think the negative will ever go away, sadly, but I do hope that there comes a time when the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah, I think we're headed in that direction. People fighting for it.
Years ago, I had a friend, and she's still a friend, Tracy, and she is a woman of color. We decided that we were just going to ask the really raw questions. Why does a Black person do such and such? And then she would ask me, why does a white person do such and such? And it felt raw. It felt vulnerable. It felt icky at times. But I'm telling you, those were the best conversations, because the things that we each wondered about different skin colors, like, we didn't have permission, like we would be ostracized if we asked those things. We were able to ask each other those things. It just turned into the most beautiful experience. I'm telling you, we laughed because some of the questions that we had for each other were really quite funny, but also things that people really want to know. And it was so beautiful to have that trust, to have that vulnerability and authenticity.
Yeah.
Have you had those experiences with women of different skin colors?
I have, and probably it's been easier for me because that's the world I've always been in, you know, with people that don't look like me. And I always wanted to explain to people who I am, who we are. And I love it when people ask me, have the courage to ask me questions about something they don't know. And I try to make sure people know, you can ask me. And I generally am that friend, because unfortunately I tend to be many people's only Black friend. I won't even call it a burden, but it does come with a lot of responsibility, because it's important for me to be open, to have those conversations. And if I'm the only one they know that they can ask, then I need to be ready and willing at all times to speak the truth.
How do you think that bridges the gap between women, men? We can include men. And I don't want to call it a divide, because I feel like that feels so large. The crack, let's just call it a crack. The crack, the separation between races. How do you think that helps bridge that?
Well, communication is always a bridge. And when we talk about how we feel and how things are, then there's no room for misinterpretation. There's no need to assume, because that is a lot of what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, look at someone and they look a certain way. And I'm guilty. I look at someone and say, I know who you voted for, or I know where you probably live, or, you know, they're driving a certain car. Mm-hmm. I know about you, but we don't. And we need to get to know each other and talk to each other. And we can't assume, because a lot of times we assume things about people and then we have these emotions and feelings about them that aren't even valid because we've completely misjudged.
That is very true, Christina. I haven't thought about it that way, but that is very true. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the one takeaway that you want the listeners to remember from our conversation today.
Oh goodness, it's hard to just pick one, but we've got to acknowledge that we all have biases that we deal with, mostly unconsciously, and it's okay to talk about them, which is a lot of why I wanted to participate in this book and why I'm writing a book about this very thing. But we've got to acknowledge them in ourselves and then to each other. And that's how we fix it. It can be fixed. We've got to talk about it. The last thing I think kind of wraps it up is your first thought is what society has conditioned you to think. And the second thought defines who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Well, I am so thankful you were willing to spend time with me today, because I do feel like this discussion, this ongoing need for communication and being vulnerable and being honest. I love knowing that you're the kind of person that I could go to and ask a question. I value that because I want to have diversity in my life. I don't want everybody to be cookie cutter, be the same, because I have learned so much from women and men that have a different skin color than mine. I would hope that they can learn something from me. Right. I think that's what it's about, is that we can learn from each other and we can appreciate our differences instead of always looking for sameness. Who wants sameness?
Right.
I just don't.
Not me.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Christina. It's been such a joy.
Thank you. I always love talking to you.
Thanks so much for joining me today. My hope is that you learn more about the beauty of diversity. Maya Angelou was right. Diversity makes for a rich tapestry. And I would add, it has made my life richer. I encourage you to find a Tracy or a Christina with whom you feel comfortable chatting about the differences in our races. I have learned so much from these women, which has strengthened my appreciation and love for those who are different from me. I believe each and every conversation that we have adds planks to the bridge that will ultimately lead to unity. If I may, I'm asking that you please share this episode on your social media and with your friends and family, because building a bridge of unity will take all of us. Thank you for listening today. And remember, when life zigs and zags, and you know it will, keep moving forward.